Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The FT.
No rise in interest rates until 2013. What would that mean for savings and mortgages? Surely a rise in stock markets in the next 5 years, which could make structured products look attractive now. And a derisory rate of interest on employee share schemes. Where's the incentive when you earn 0%? All this to come in this week's FT Money Show. I'm Matthew Vincent, and I'll be giving you the lowdown on all of these money matters in downloadable form with my colleagues from FT Money, Tanya Poley.
Hello.
Elaine Moore.
Hello.
And Lucy Warwick-Ching.
Hello.
And our special studio guest, Mark Chamberlain, Executive Director at Morgan Stanley.
Hello.
Let's start then with the money news. Last week, the US Federal Reserve indicated that US interest rates would not be raised for another 2 years in an attempt to stimulate economic growth. Then, just days later, the Governor of the Bank of England, Sir Mervyn King, indicated that UK interest rates would also remain on hold for longer than previously forecast. Although he declined to commit to holding the base rate at 0.5% for a set period, he said the current market expectation of where bank rate would be in 2012 is very close to where it is now. So expectations have already got to the point without us having to make a specific commitment. Analysts believe this means flat rates for the whole of next year and beyond. Barclays Capital said rates would be on hold for another 2 years. Some even forecast a cut in the base rate to 0.25%. Tanya, this could have implications for people choosing a mortgage now, couldn't it?
It does, actually. Obviously, with interest rates expected to stay longer than previously forecasted, lifetime variable rates and cheap two-year tracker deals are likely to be the better option if you're purely looking at, actually, what is going to be the cheapest cost to me over the next 2 years. And that's because these deals are still the cheaper option. They have lower rates. Most of the two-year trackers start from about 1.99% at the moment, while lifetime tracker deals with no early repayment charges are around 2.39%. So you've got kind of a premium of 40 basis points between two-year trackers and lifetime deals. So if you're purely looking at over the next 2 years and you don't think there's going to be much rise in interest rates, and you want to keep your monthly payments down to minimum, then those type of variable rate deals will probably be the better option.
But it wasn't so long ago that economists were forecasting a rise in the base rate at the end of this year, and we were reporting a stampede of home buyers into fixed rate mortgages, which seemed a good idea. That's changed a bit.
It has, in a sense, that we're now expecting interest rates to not rise for quite a while now. But the fact is, actually, it's not that bad a decision if you have gone into a fixed rate mortgage, because what we've seen over the past few months has been this significant cut in rates by lenders for fixed rate mortgages. That's because we've seen swap rates fall, which is actually how lenders price the cost of their fixed rate mortgage. And that's actually been on the back of the fact that base rate expectations has been pushed back further. So what we're seeing now, actually, is, cost of two-year fixed rates, four-year fixed rates, five-year fixed rates at an all-time low. So actually the premium between a variable rate mortgage and a fixed rate deal isn't that different. It's not that much of an extra charge that you're going to have to pay. I think the best four-year fixed rate out there at the moment is 2.99% from Coventry. And when you compare that to the best lifetime tracker at 2.39%, actually, there's not that big a difference. So if you want that kind of security over your, monthly payments, then actually a four-year fixed rate or a five-year fixed deal isn't that bad.
And what if you want the best of both worlds? What if you think the Bank of England is going to hold the base rate for 2 years, as many people think, but then it'll start to go up?
Well, one lender's been quite innovative, and Accord has basically launched this hybrid five-year deal. So it's basically a mix of a variable rate for 2 years, which is then followed on by a fixed rate mortgage for 3 years, which is already priced in, so that the cost is already set. So basically for the next 2 years you can have a fairly low cheap variable rate, keep your monthly payments down for, you know, to take advantage of the low interest rates, but then also have the security of a 3-year fix for when maybe rates do start to rise potentially. The other thing you could do is a lot of lenders now offer switch to fixed mortgages, which is basically you can go onto any of their tracker deals now, and you have the ability to move to a fixed rate with that same lender without paying any extra product fees.
So there are choices for mortgage borrowers in this low-rate environment. But Elaine, let's look at the flip side of this. This is the worst possible news for savers. Rates have been low and they're going to stay really low.
It makes sense, doesn't it, that if borrowing costs are coming down, then the rates that you're going to get on deposits, they're also probably going to come down. And that's what analysts have said this week to me. If you see a good fixed rate out at the moment, then snap it up straight away, because they're unlikely to stay on the market for very long. And the rates that are coming out now are lower than those that were out, say, 2-3 months ago. So in April, you had a choice of a couple of accounts that were paying 5.05%. Now, there's one account that pays 5%. And only on sums up to £1,000. So anything more than that, you'll get less than 5%.
But you really need to take advantage, I suppose, of all of the high fixed rates deals, because they are still top of the best buy tables.
Absolutely. And actually, if you look at the fact that the interest rate is 0.5%, it's been that way, 29 months now. If you look at the deals that are out there, you can get, for on 1 year bonds, you can get 3.55%. So that's incredible. That's a huge, you know, step up from where the base rate is.
Who's that from?
That's from West Bromwich. For ISAs, you can get a 1 year bond from Metro Bank, 3.5%. That's the best of the market for that time period. So if we look at the index that the government uses to work out where inflation is, that's 4.4% now, and economists, analysts are saying it could go up to 5%. So that's draining the money that you're putting away in cash.
And presumably that means there are only a handful of savings accounts that can pay more than inflation.
Well, we're back to NS&I again. As we keep on mentioning, it's inflation-proofed, so it will move as the rate of inflation goes up. It will go up with it, and it'll pay you 0.5% on top, and it's tax-free, and it's completely covered by the government. So 100% of the money is protected. Then you have the post office, which is slightly less good deal. It's not tax-free, and it doesn't compound interest. So it won't be rolling up the interest that you earn, so you won't be earning as much.
But both of these inflation-linked savings products are still available.
They are still available. We were quite surprised. We thought that they would be taken away by everybody. But what's still happening is that it seems like savers are quite reluctant to tie their money up. They think that people for quite a long time thought that rates were going to go up, so they were opting for a one-year savings rate. Now that we know that, you know, it could be 2013, 2014, who knows, it seems like a much better idea to tie your money up.
It does, doesn't it? Well, thanks, Elaine and Tanya. And for experts' predictions on how long rates will be held and details of the best tracker mortgages and fixed savings rates, look out for the articles in the money section of this weekend's FT and online at ft.com/money. Still to come on the show, why save as you earn if you now earn just 0% interest? First, though, structured products and volatile markets. Structured products have continued to make payouts on maturity and protect investors' capital amid recent market volatility. And providers argue that new products offer a more attractive balance between risk and return, with the FTSE 100 at lower levels. FTSE Link products, which pay either a fixed return or a multiple of the upside if the index rises, while guaranteeing to protect capital if the index falls less than a specified amount, have been criticised by some advisers for their complexity and risk, as well as exposing investors to losses if the index falls below their capital protection barriers. They are reliant on the solvency of counterparty banks to meet their guarantees. But while the FTSE 100 has fallen 20% from its February high at certain points in August, no structured product has breached its protection barrier, because most set this barrier at 50% below the FTSE starting level. And with new products able to take a lower starting level for the FTSE of around 5,300, perhaps even 5,200 this week, some say they offer more scope for attractive returns. Mark, you've seen people coming to you looking for these products.
Yep.
How strong has demand been?
I would say the last 3 weeks we've seen very strong demand from all client segments, from private bank, discretionary asset managers and financial advisors. Many are looking to put on conservatively put together product. Quite easy to understand, transparent, with a few moving parts. Income products, as you mentioned, medium-term, five-year growth products to take advantage of the conditions of the market we're seeing at the moment, which is obviously a vast amount of increased volatility, which will help in payoff. You have increased spreads on the bonds that back these products to give you a greater amount to spend in your payoff. And, you know, these factors are getting to us to a stage whereby we can provide, especially in the retail space, very attractive income-paying products, which is obviously always a need, especially alluding to our last comments. And, yes, they're very attractive, I would say, back to mid-09s levels. So we're seeing, yes, a lot of interest on a daily basis, be it on any client segment.
Let's just take an example of the sort of product that you just mentioned, so, say an income product. Now, for those who are not familiar with them, these basically will pay you a sort of high fixed level of income if
a condition is met. Yes.
And the condition is generally the FTSE 100 staying the same or going higher.
Yes. In the main, they are those kind of products that on an annual basis. You would have an observation point and the product would look at that point and see if the index, your nominated index, is at or above its initial level. There are variants of these products that are out there at the moment because people are taking advantage of, as I said again, the pricing environment and saying, well, I don't want to look at those initial levels. Let me look at maybe a defensive level. So we're looking at maybe the index has to be at 80% of its initial level.
So the index can fall and they still pay out.
Exactly. Products being put together like that, again, conservative product, but in this environment you can still get, you know, returns depending on whose paper you're using or whose bank, who the bank is that's offering that, can maybe give you a higher or lower level. But the levels are around, I mean, for ourselves, for example, we have got a product out there that's launching next week, paying 10% linked to the FTSE, but we have one backed by gilts that does the same thing. So your capital at risk is down to the UK government being solvent, paying 7.5%.
So the level of fixed return you get is often dependent upon who's providing the guarantee.
Exactly.
Now, lots of people get very, very worried about counterparties, the people who provide the guarantee. And you mentioned that, you know, it depends whose paper you use.
Exactly.
And you're referring to the bonds that are issued by the banks.
Exactly.
So you've got a product that is backed by gilts, paying 7.5% if the FTSE
is above its initial level.
Above. Yep. Your 10% product, who's behind
that? It's Morgan Stanley. So therefore, you can see the difference if you're looking at a risk-reward profile point of view, depending on the client's risk outlook, can say, well, I'll take a Morgan Stanley product, which is backed by a corporate bond, and see where financial corporates are. You can get a markedly higher coupon, and that shows you where you are market pricing. And these products are being launched and put together at the same time, so the comparison is there.
And just finally, you know, some people say that not only have these products shown that they can provide protection when the market falls, but with the market having fallen, their starting points are more attractive.
Correct. And again, we're back to a conversation we had back in end of 08 and 09, whereby the capital risk elements of these products that drive the yield, we're looking at, as you mentioned earlier, Your capital potentially is at risk at the end of, a 5-year period if the reference index has halved and we're looking at maturity. You know, so we're here, we're looking at 5,000. You're looking at 2,500 index level
on the FTSE
in 5 years' time.
Before you start to lose money.
For your capital at risk. Obviously, you have the solvency of the counterparty, or the bank issuing that product is a risk. The bank has to pay its debt, be able to pay the debt for that product to work. If it's around and the index hasn't fallen down to 2,500, then your initial capital is returned if your product hasn't ended early when you've got that, you know, we've received that income in that example.
So in very simple terms, if you think that the bank behind these products isn't going to go bust and the FTSE isn't going to fall to 2,500 and odd,
You have the potential, should the index remain at whatever, you know, however that product's put together, and 9 times out of 10 it's flat to above, at an annual point over the next, say, 5 years, yes, you have the chance to gain maybe a 7% to 10% per annum coupon.
Well, I'm certainly hoping the FTSE is going to be higher in 5 years' time. But thanks for explaining these structured product options to us. And if you'd like to know about some of the new products being launched, their risks and returns, you can read our analysis in this weekend's FT and on the website at ft.com/money. And finally today, employee share schemes. Save As You Earn schemes used to offer generous incentives to employees looking to invest in their companies. Interest on the money they saved up to buy shares and an option to buy the shares at a discounted price, up to 20% below market value. But this week, HM Revenue and Customs announced that the interest rate earned on three-year share save schemes had been cut to 0%. Accountants say that the move could further deter employees from using these schemes, and the number of people signing up for them is already 40% below its peak of 10 years ago. Lucy, 0% on the money you save up to buy shares in your company, it's not an incentive, is it?
No, and a lot of experts I've been speaking to this week have said that it couldn't have happened at a worse time. A lot of employers have been freezing pay, making redundancies, things like that. So they're trying to incentivise their employees by perhaps using Save As You Earn schemes. And also the other thing is that actually these schemes work best when you go in when the market is down. So what people would be hoping to do is go in when the price is very low and then after, say, 3, 5, 7 years, you know, make a profit because the share price has actually gone up. So HMRC has cut the interest rates. So some people may be thinking, well, they're not trying to encourage me to put my money in now, so maybe they just won't bother. You know, there isn't that incentive there.
Exactly. At a time when we're sort of being encouraged to back, you know, businesses and invest in them, it does seem odd. But it's almost worse than just getting 0% on the three-year schemes, because looking at the detail of this, if you go into a five-year scheme or a seven-year scheme, but you take your money out before the end, you also get 0%.
The schemes themselves do actually vary on what interest they will pay. So if you go into the five-year scheme or the seven-year plan, then you will get a small amount of interest. Say on the five-year, you'll get 0.59%, but that has been cut from 1.1%. And on the seven-year plan, you'll get 1.25 cut down from 1.7. But for everyone on any plan that goes in this year, if they decide after, say, 3 years or, you know, a couple of years, they want to come out of that scheme early because, you know, they could have lost their job or they could need the money, they've realised they can't actually continue to save, they're just going to get 0% on their money. As Elaine mentioned earlier, with inflation running so high, then they'll be getting less than zero. They'll be having their money actually cut.
Yes, so the spending power of that money will have been eroded. I suppose it's important to not lose sight of the fact that you still, with these schemes, do get the option to buy shares at a discounted price. So there is the potential to profit from them.
Absolutely. A couple of accountants I spoke to earlier today were just saying the idea is that you go into these schemes taking a bit of a risk, I guess, on your money, although you will get your cash back. But the benefit is that you could see the value of the shares go right up and you could actually make a lot of money on the scheme. So they were saying don't lose sight of the fact that this isn't about putting your money into a savings plan. This is about being able to take a bit of a gamble, really, on what the share price of your company is going to do. But again, you're investing in your company. So some people are saying that you need to be aware that if you have your salary with that company, your pension, everything, and then if you put money into the Save As You Earn schemes and decide to buy those shares at the end of the scheme, and you do that repeatedly over the years, then you could actually end up with a big weighting of your portfolio with the company that you work with. So say with some of the employees in the banks, that's been a bit of an issue because the share options have gone right down and they've had pay cuts and things like that. So it's not a one-way bet.
Yes, you don't want to put all of your eggs into one basket, especially if the employer is holding the basket. Just finally, though, people who are already in schemes, they'll still get interest, won't they? People
yes.
who joined schemes in the past.
It's only for people that are starting to pay into plans this year. The rates actually changed on the 12th of August, so anyone that starts to pay into a scheme now will be affected.
Lucy, thanks very much for explaining that. And for more on the changes to Save As You Earn schemes, make sure you read Lucy's report in the money section of this weekend's FT. But that's all we have time for in this week's FT Money Show. Remember, you'll find all of these stories, plus daily news updates, blog posts and top tips on our website, ft.com/money. You can also follow our tweets at twitter.com/FTMoney. And if you have a question you'd like us to answer about any aspect of your finances, just email us. The address is money@ft.com. Next week, we'll bring you another financial lowdown in downloadable form. But until then, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Tanya, Elaine, Lucy, and our special guest, Mark Chamberlain from Morgan Stanley.
Goodbye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.